I do believe that Trump represents fascism. I believe that the words that he said, the policies that he promotes, clearly state that and describe that. The work we do now between now and the election is important for people to see that this is not just a regular election. This is between really fascism and some, I guess, semblance of what people consider American democracy. It's a time for people to act.
Welcome to episode 18 of Inside Without Now, a podcast brought to you by volunteers with RefuseFascism.org. I'm Sam Goldman, one of those volunteers and host of this show. Today is Sunday, September 20th. It's been less than two full days since the news that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away at the age of 87. Since then, we've seen gatherings of hundreds at vigils outside the Supreme Court in D.C. and across the country, mourning RBG and dreading what comes next. We've seen Trump at rallies lead crowds in cheering fill that seat, promising to announce his nominee next week. We've seen figures like Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and Ted Cruz announce that they fully intend to replace her immediately, with Ted Cruz stating on Fox that the Republicans need a majority on the court for when the presidential election is contested there. The gravity of this moment cannot be overstated. I'd like to read the new statement issued by the editorial board of RefuseFascism.org. On the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, no fascist Supreme Court, protest every day in October. Demand Trump Pence out now. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a lifelong stalwart fighter for the rights of women. She came to symbolize the hopes of so many who yearn for gender equality. Her passing intensifies the urgent need to get in the streets, to drive out the Trump-Pence regime, as we speed toward an election that is being stolen. The outpouring of grief over her death comes with an existential dread of what we face. We must stop the Trump-Pence regime from changing the form of rule into one of fascist terror. Cementing a pro-fascist majority on a court that has already begun to erode women's right to birth control and abortion, legalize discrimination against LGBTQ people, sabotage voting rights, eviscerate the separation of church and state, and usher in white supremacist Christian theocratic control. The Nazi regime remade the courts in the same way, so that by the time they were rounding up people, much of their heinous actions were perfectly legal. Hours after Ginsburg's death, Trump and McConnell announced they intend to replace her before the election, an act of howling hypocrisy, since the GOP refused to even meet with Obama's nomination in 2016 because it was an election year. Any attempt to jam a nominee through the Senate must not be allowed. Millions have hoped that the normal channels can stop the danger of the Trump-Pence regime. But those norms are being incinerated. Those channels turn into dead ends. We who ache at this moment must take the future into our own hands, mobilizing a mass protest movement that fills the public squares across the country to demand the removal of this fascist regime and not stop until our demand is met. With so much at stake, we cannot wait for November to act. Join us Monday, September 21st. March against death, lies, and fascism, and for humanity, to demand Trump Pence out now. build momentum towards October daily protest and get organized to make October our month. On October 3rd, we launch protests every day to demand Trump-Pence out now, seizing on our power of nonviolent protests, our strength of numbers in the streets, and our responsibility to all humanity. We must turn grief into action, dread into hope, and struggle now with all we've got to change the course of history, not stopping until the Trump-Pence regime has been driven from power. We urge individuals and organizations to write us. We must work together in this historic undertaking. Email info@refusefascism.org or DM us @refusefascism on social media. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. This past Wednesday, September 16th, Refuse Fascism organized protests around the country to indict Trump for inciting and supporting murders by fascists, to commemorate the fallen, and to drive out the Trump-Pence regime. 14 people have been killed by white supremacists or by police hit squads during or after protests this summer. We're going to share an interview with a friend of Anthony Huber, the 26-year-old man shot and killed by Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old Trump-supporting vigilante in Kenosha, who murdered two Black Lives Matter protesters a week ago. But first, we'll listen to an interview Coco Das did with a teacher in Houston who has been organizing with Refuse Fascism for the past few years.
I wanted to start by talking in general about the rise of the Trump-Pence regime in 2016. I know that you've been active with Refuse Fascism for a few years, and you do have an understanding that this is fascism that we're facing, and you have an understanding of the danger of that. But what does that mean in terms of education and children? So from your perspective as an educator, can you talk a little bit about the overall effect that Trump and Pence and their regime, their administration, has had on education in general? What are some things you've observed and what are some things that you fear?
I think the biggest thing that I fear and that I see is the tolerance of misinformation and disinformation and just outright lies that we know are not true, and that that's tolerated. And I think that that's a danger for our society, but also for our students, in that this is teaching them how to be, how to engage with the world and how to engage with information. And to have a president that lies outright, I think that it kind of is a cloud over our children and education and what they're able to accomplish, because he represents such a very, very low and limited goal of what a human can be and what kids should look up to. So I think on one level overall, I think it's just been really, really bad for students because of the example that he sets.
People talk about how he lies and it's just normalized now. Of course he lies, but what this actually does, how this degrades the way that everybody in society thinks and what they'll accept as reasonable discourse, that filters into all of society, but especially into schools where you're trying to teach children, teach young people a way of thinking that's completely contradicted by this regime that's in power. Then everything in this year has gotten even more accelerated and escalated through several crises, but one of them is COVID-19. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how that affected your school year last year, but especially during the summer, the regime was really doubling down on forcing kids and teachers to go back to school and public schools to reopen physically at full capacity, which would make disease prevention very difficult. Could you talk a little bit about how you've experienced that? What kind of anxiety and fear did you consider that you might have to leave teaching, which some people have done? How did this affect your past several months?
Well, when the news of the pandemic hit in the spring, everyone was very shocked and surprised about what was happening. With teaching, I was very fortunate for our district to go virtual and to try and continue educating our students as best we could with the new information we had at the time. And so we were able to finish the school year virtual, and then you had the summer, and where there was a lot of talk about how schools were going to start because certain education agencies are tying school funding into students being in the seats, which is on a regular day problematic, but definitely when there's a pandemic that is easily spread when a bunch of people are together. And so to hear the debate about that, it's been really frustrating. There was a small part where it was confusing over why they would push to have teachers and students and staff in a school where there's a pandemic of which there's no cure or vaccine. There's so many variables to it. So to purposefully bring people back together, to me, is just very frustrating. And a lot of teachers are scared and angry and confused because our jobs are at stake. It's either we go to work and put ourselves at risk, or we don't work and then deal with the fact that we're not work, and then therefore you may lose your job, et cetera, and the consequences of that. So the choices aren't the best that teachers have to face.
And do you have a sense of nationally, in places where schools did reopen, there was an effect? It wasn't that it just happened smoothly and the regime was right and every school should reopen. There actually have been mass infections and death.
As of my own last research about it, teachers who have lost their lives to COVID, whose schools have started. In addition, they have seen cases within the first week of COVID where they've had to quarantine students and staff. So we can see with those schools who have opened up in person, the disease still spreads because we still are in a pandemic. There still is no cure or a vaccine as of yet. Just like what scientists can see, if there's a virus out there which there's no cure and we put people together with barely any protections, then it's going to continue to spread. And that's the frustrating part, to know that it's going to happen and to see that the systems and the leaders that are in charge are fostering this to happen. Just unbelievable that this is happening.
One of the things that Refuse Fascism is calling for right now, on September 5th, we launched with 1,700 people around the country taking to the streets and demanding Trump Pence out now. And this launched 60 days of nonviolent struggle. And one thing that we're saying is this needs to be our time, not Trump's, not his fascist goons, not these people who have clearly stated, and now we know that Trump knew all along how serious this disease was and acted actively against trying to save lives, even knowing what he knew. We're saying that this has to be our time where the people, millions of us who really should not be okay with 190, 195,000 people and soon to be 200,000 people dying from a preventable situation, that in these 60 days leading to the election, we need to be holding vigils, town halls, outdoor concerts, but also mass actions in the streets, protests, all of the different outrages that are coming down from this fascist program that are killing people. So one of the things we're doing on September 21st is we are going to be holding mass marches and rallies against the lies, death, and fascism, marking the horrible landmark of 200,000 people dead in this country from this disease, the highest death toll in the world. The response of this regime is also spreading COVID to other parts of the world. It's leading to spikes in other parts of the world, which not enough people know about. The mass deportations going on right now are actually spreading the disease in countries where they have no infrastructure to deal with it. This is absolutely criminal, right? Why do you think that this time is so critical? Why can't we just wait for the election, which is coming up very soon? It'll be here, but why can't we wait for that? Why do we need to act now? And why does the regime have to go now? Why should that be our demand?
Very recently, it really hit me that this is not a normal president, and so this is not a normal elections, and so the way that we approach it can't be the way that we normally do. I do believe that Trump represents fascism. I believe that the words that he said, the policies that he promotes, clearly state that and describe that. And so the work we do now between now and the election is important for people to see that this is not just a regular election. This is between really fascism and some, I guess, semblance of what people consider American democracy. It's a time for people to act. It's kind of all fallen into place. The misinformation and disinformation, the attacks on journalism, the attacks on different races, and it's to a point where we have to make stands and choices to counter all of that that he represents. He's already denigrating the results that haven't even happened yet. And so I think people just need to pay attention to what he's actually saying and doing, and then we have to act accordingly.
Jamila, I really want to thank you for all your work, not only as an educator and you're putting yourself on the front lines and not only dealing with this pandemic, but the whole culture of the way knowledge has been devalued, the way that objective truth has been devalued. You're really on the front lines of stopping the spread of that. And I think your work is very important, and also your work with Refuse Fascism and bringing to people the danger that we're facing now and the need to act. And I really want to thank you for talking to me. And I hope that you'll stay safe, but stay strong. Thank you very much.
That was Coco Das, talking with Jamila, a teacher in Houston. Next, you've probably heard about Kyle Rittenhouse, the notorious 17-year-old white supremacist who murdered two protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin. After the police shot and paralyzed Jacob Blake, Rittenhouse, too young to legally carry a gun, was allowed by Kenosha police to participate in a vigilante patrol. He had already murdered Joseph Rosenbaum, another protester, when Anthony Huber attempted to disarm him, but was shot and killed. Anthony's friends, still active with the Black Lives Matter movement, traveled to Chicago to participate in the rally there this past Wednesday. One of the organizers in Chicago interviewed Anthony's friend, Zachary.
I was probably about 100 feet between the gas station and where the first shot was fired. So I heard that shit, and then I started to run, and then I heard other shots fired, and we tried running the other way, and I didn't find out that it was a friend of mine till 5 in the morning that night. But yeah, I was definitely there. It was terrifying, to be frankly honest. My name is Zachary Krueger. We are with Black Lives Matter and the Trump Out Now Refuse Fascism. We're from Kenosha, Wisconsin. One of my best friends was Anthony Huber. He passed away recently defending Black lives, and we are here to do the same thing. I'm with Hannah, his girlfriend, and a couple other friends, and we're all part of the movement. We just wanted to show that Kenosha supports Chicago, and we know that Chicago supports Kenosha with us as well. So we just wanted to come out here and show presence that we're not going to just let his name die. Jacob Blake is actually also a friend of mine. I know Jacob Blake as well. Not as well as I knew Anthony. We were not close, but we definitely hung out a handful of times. And he's a super, super smart dude. He's all about his family. He did not deserve to get shot at all. And I know that he wasn't putting himself in a situation where he deserved to be shot even one time. Neither of them deserved what they got at all. A friend of mine, who is better friends with Jake, talked to him recently. So we have heard from him a little bit, but it's still unfortunate what happened either way. I don't know if he's ever going to walk again, so that super fucking sucks. And then one of my best friends is dead because of white supremacy, basically. A lot of the people that we hang out with are very like-minded in the fact that we don't like racist people, we don't like, you know, fascists, Nazis, none of that shit rides with anybody that I hang out with personally. I mean, all the people that I'm with, none of that shit rides with them. But we are a Republican place. There is a lot of white pride in Kenosha for some reason. So it's kind of a big divide, in my opinion. We're only 100,000 people, roughly, so it's pretty tight-knit for who we do hang out with and the spots that we do go. You have bootlickers all over the place and whatever the fuck, so it's fucked up. Growing up there, you don't even realize how much, like, racism actually is going on. It's wild as fuck. And then you have to unlearn that shit or teach yourself to be a better person. And we did that. We've all done that. I know personally, my homie over there, he grew up in a really racist family with ideals or whatever, and now he is one of the biggest supporters that I know of the movement. People would say we're radical, I guess, or whatever, but we don't put up with this shit, man. Anthony didn't put up with this shit, and that's why he tried to stop it. Earlier in that night, he had chased someone down who had pistol whipped somebody. So he was not about letting people get away with doing bogus shit. And being a racist is fucking bogus shit. Trump's doing bogus ass shit and allowing all this to happen. Came through and did a walk through Kenosha a couple days after it had happened or whatever, and he gave the cops like $4 million or something. He gave them more funding. And I don't know if that number is absolutely correct, but he gave them a lot of money. The shit that he says is straight white supremacy rhetoric. There's nothing, no way about it, around it. The stuff that he has said about Mexicans, the stuff that he has said about blacks. He claims that everyone is part of a domestic terrorist organization if you refuse to accept his way, essentially, you know? And that's insane to me. It's absolutely insane.
Of course, we at Refuse Fascism believe that every nonviolent act against the Trump-Pence regime is very critical to driving out the Trump-Pence regime. It also includes voting added to that, but sure. You can't rely on voting solely, especially the corrupt electoral college.
Sure.
Do you think, one, that it's possible for masses of people to be similar to what they did with Governor Rosario in Puerto Rico, similar to what they did with Lukashenko in Belarus right now, 100,000 people out of the street within South Korea a few years ago, to drive them out? And like I say, they took a page of American history books, sure. Similar to how we ended the Vietnam War, sure. Similar to how we got the Civil Rights Movement through, similar to how we got Vice President Spiro Agnew, Richard Nixon, out before sure. Both of our times, obviously. Sure. Now, do you believe if we have enough people power, it's possible to drive out this very fascist regime? But the naysayers that don't think so, what do you have to say to them? What's your message to them?
I do believe it would be possible if their numbers were big enough. Right now, I mean, with a lot of the protests that I've been since Anthony got shot, they've been very small. I think people are scared right now, and I think now is the time that you shouldn't be scared because all the signs of fascism are there. If you don't believe it, you haven't seen or felt what it's like to be around 100 people, 500 people who are hungry for justice. It's wild. It gives me goosebumps every time I'm around people and we're doing this. I think if the numbers were high enough and people... I think we have to be a little more aggressive about it, but not violent about it. Taking over the streets instead of walking on the sidewalk. More stuff like that versus just marching and then letting the police escort us wherever we have to go. Not just here, everywhere. I see it everywhere I go. I think that the message that we're sending out by being peaceful is much stronger than destroying shit. Kenosha wasn't actually destroyed as much as people think that it was. Downtown got some windows smashed in and a couple of places got burned down, which is super fucking shitty. But that's what gets these people to listen when they're not listening. And people are dying now, defending... How do you not get it? You know what I mean? If you don't get it, you're just a racist at this point. That's really all there is. And if you're not out here trying to defend that, then you're kind of with it. And I think that's dumb. So my friend died because Black Lives Matter. And I think that if you support him and you support what he did for us and the movement, then you should be out here too. And that is what it is. I'm not aware of anything that is being planned. We kind of play it by ear. When we hear about something going on, we kind of just jump in and join. None of us are with a particular group, so we don't have anyone to report to us about if there's something going on or, you know, events going on. So we kind of just see if something's going on. A couple days ago, there was a protest outside of the courthouse in Kenosha, and one of us drove past and just let everyone know. So we checked it out. Same thing with this today. Hannah had talked to somebody who was either with you guys, one of you guys' groups, and then we decided to come down. We found out last night that it was going to happen, so we decided all to come down today. The system is inherently flawed because it was built on racism and white supremacy, and until it is broken down completely and rebuilt, there is nothing that's going to work. That's my opinion.
Thanks for listening to Inside Without Now. You can find the statement I read at the beginning of the show on the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, no fascist Supreme Court, protest every day in October, demand Trump Pence out now at refusefascism.org. Read it, spread it. Tomorrow is Monday, September 21st, and there are rallies happening in New York City, Chicago, Philly, Atlanta, LA, DC, and many other cities. Dedicated to the 200,000 people who have died from COVID-19. We are marching against death, lies, and fascism, and for humanity. Our demand is Trump Pence out now. Again, all of this is only more urgent with the battle over the Supreme Court happening immediately. And we must build together toward daily protests starting October 3rd. Go to refusefascism.org to get the details on where to be for your area. You'll also be wanting to check there for upcoming details about nationwide mass meetings to plan for daily protests demanding the immediate ouster of this regime starting October 3rd. Follow at Refuse Fascism on social media and subscribe to this podcast for updates. Leave a rating or a review for this podcast to help us reach more people. You can also give now to help support this movement by clicking the donate button at refusefascism.org or Venmo refuse-fascism. Give on Cash App, Refuse Fascism. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. See you in the streets tomorrow.